Blog Talk Radio. And welcome to Awakenings. This is Michelle Mache. That was a bit of Devotion by DJ Petey from moontribe.org. And we all need a bit of devotion, I would say. I want to know, has anybody out there, text me, call me, email me, been feeling this Mercury retrograde? Mercury retrograde in Aquarius. We do have times in our life where things, you know, different cycles, different emphasis in our life, and Mercury in Aquarius happens to rule computers, all things tech, wiring, electronics, anything technology, recording equipment, computers, external hard drives, a lot of stuff been going on in that department, so things have been wacky. Those of you that are just tuning in, welcome to everyone that is listening via Cosmic Dimensions and all the other podcast stations. And those of you that are going to be listening to this via iTunes, hello and welcome, and guests, welcome. Oh, great, and we've got someone, I see Dana in the chat from Monday's class at Agape. So welcome, Dana, great to have you here. And Little Light and Kirk and all the others that are holding that healing space of empowerment that we come here to connect in and celebrate in. Now, some people are also saying in the chat that they felt anxious. And, well, Aquarius, you know, is ruled by Uranus, whole ruled by Saturn. So you might feel some constricted or restrictive energy, as well as perhaps a lot of amplified energy. So it could be a balancing of the two. And Kathy in the chat is mentioning anxiousness. So definitely you can be feeling more of an energy amp or boost. The other thing is, you know, and I've talked about this before on the show, that we have these gateways of now twice a year, every November, December, and then again every May, June. And that creates an intensification of energy and light. And, you know, we're in the middle of this reconstruction period, if you will, reorganization period. So our body is being attuned to be able to handle these energy frequencies more. I wish I remembered who was mentioning this. Actually, it was one of the creators of one of the pianos, a grand piano. So if anybody, any musicians out there, if you want to text this to me or call in, the name is escaping me right now. I'm seeing the guy on the show that I was watching. I believe it actually, I was watching Larry King, I believe. And he spoke of this, as well as with another scientist that happened to be on the show. It was all about invention and innovation. And he spoke that, you know, we have had, and I love this because I had months previous given a workshop on self-realization to self-actualization, and I had just spoke to this. And to hear someone on Larry King that this is their actual field saying this just got me, because I was coming more from a metaphysical standpoint. Anyway, they both were saying that we have had the same body since the Industrial Revolution. So listen to that. We've had the same body since the Industrial Revolution. We live much different lives. The stimulus that comes at us, from us, through us, you know, the electrical equipment, you know, the fiber optics, cable, you know, satellite, you know, cell phones. I know I'm missing something. On and on and on. So his contention was that we are really in a major up-leveling or upshifting of, as he put it, which I so agree, our software. That our mind is having to make these adjustments, but also our body. And he said, we are in the middle of a leap, a quantum leap of being able to handle. Now, mind you, they weren't necessarily talking metaphysically and spiritually, but they were talking more environmentally and mentally, emotionally, as well as physically what the body can handle and process. And they said, you know, this is a far cry from the time when, we were in the horse and buggy days or the farmers, or maybe a few cars on the road. So now put that into what's happening to us collectively, universally, with this infusion of more light and more energy, you begin to see that the physical body is having to adjust to these higher frequencies and more expanded frequencies. And mind you, these higher frequencies, expanded frequencies, as you know, they move very quickly, but they're also very quiet. They're quiet to our physical ear. However, we are picking them up, not just vibrationally, but we are hearing that hum. We are hearing that the wiring, even if they're saying that it's, not possible on the subconscious level, we're processing all this. So, and then Dana in the chat is talking about lost contact on the cell phone the day and the computer having problems. Yes. So that this is why, most importantly, we are, having these readjustments every so often, every 3-4 months in the retrograde where we're meant to redo, renew, reevaluate. It's all the REs. Are you renewing, rejuvenating, reevaluating, re-noticing, renewing, refreshing? So if things slow down a little bit before the retrograde and just a little bit after, but the bulk of the retrograde is 3 weeks, happens usually 4 times a year. And it is a time that our mind is moving more quickly. The mind, you can envision something and faster than you can actually do it. In the retrograde, it's actually the physicality or the body moves more quickly, and the mind is catching up or seeming to. So it is the time really to slow down and renew, redo, reevaluate, whether it's on a relationship issues, contractual issues, as far as, life situation, where you're wanting to go. It is that time to look and take it all in. It's not necessarily a time to initiate, but it is a time to get clear. And I think that's one thing that people, sometimes don't think about. They don't use the cycle in the way that's proactive. And that's what it's meant to do. One of the other things that I wanted to say is that along those lines is taking that time to work with the cycles that we naturally have, and many people, definitely more in mainstream consciousness or the race consciousness, we're kind of reprogrammed to just keep going. We've got light bulbs so we can stay awake longer, to read and I'm big on that. I can be an early owl and a night owl, getting my projects done and playing around and but I think we need to check in every time, every so often, to see, do I need to go more within? It's winter time. That's a time of reflecting also. That's a time of slowing down and noticing what's transpired, in your life. What do you know? What do you know that's new or different, or what do you want to alter? What do you want to change? Is there something new emerging through you? Is there a new direction coming in? Or just a time to let some assimilation and integration take place? So if we work with these cycles, definitely the cycles of the seasons, that helps our body-mind adjust more to the infusion of the higher, more expanded frequencies that are coming in. I also suggest people that every that May, June time, and again, November, December, that time that's on the gateways, the portals of light, which is also on my website, selfinlight.com, and you can find out a little bit about that. I'll be writing more about it, but there's a bit of an introduction to that. Then you can begin to adjust. You can begin to notice that at that time you're getting more of an infusion of light energy. You're getting more of the impulse of your soul, and you're getting more direction spiritually. There's more of a infusion of the spiritual light energy, and there's more impulse from the soul. So you might find yourself at that time taking new direction, or old things from the past coming up that you need to look at and clear and move through, or reevaluate or look at differently in your mind. Or you may, many people find that they're being tested to some degree, or going through some kind of trial, you know, or tribulation right at that time, or some kind of, you know, like I said, testing point where they're having to see, am I living up to what I know to be true, or am I following my right path? You know, I'm following my path, and I'm having these challenges now. You know, what does this mean? How can I get support in this? Or new direction can be coming in. A lot of people have trouble sleeping around those times, and then I have other people that I've worked with that say that they are sleeping a lot. And in which case, if you're sleeping a lot, that can mean that you're getting inner plane work, that there's other work that's being done on you, a deeper healing. And then a lot of times that new energy that's coming in, that vibrational frequency, it's, how do I want to say, at one level it can be very disruptive and yet peaceful and calm. So there's a bit of a dichotomy there. You can feel more of a spiritual connection, a deeper understanding about yourself and others, and perhaps how you're being of service, where you're going. And for others, it can be very chaotic. Some of you may actually be able to feel the difference at that time of the energetic frequency that's altering. And again, this is happening so that our body mind gets used to processing this, integrating this, assimilating it, so that we are able to reinforce these energies and live with these energies, be these. They are us. They are us on another level. It's just handling it on this level or this dimension. You know, we're talking of the ego personality that is having the adjustment, because on another level we are, or density, we already are all that. So in a sense, it's bringing more of that into full expression. Those of you also that would like to call in and have questions, I'm going to be calling our guest, Eric Pearl, in just a minute here. But if you would like to call in and listen, or call in and ask questions, that would be great. And that number is 347-539-5122. And I welcome all of those that are new to Awakenings, and those that are regulars that are holding the healing space in the empowerment room. It's wonderful to connect with all of you. And as all of you know, that Awakenings is that place for that converging flow where we all come together to share our insight and wisdom. It's also the place for awakened lecturers, authors, spiritualists, scientists, people really of all walks of life that are either awakening or have awakened and now are doing something with this new emerging state of consciousness in their everyday living, as well as helping others to wake up and share the light. So we're going to be talking today with Dr. Eric Pearl. I'm going to give him a call. He's traveling. And actually, those of you that are tuning in, it might be new, but Eric Pearl is actually internationally recognized as a healer on countless television programs in the U.S. and around the world. He's spoken by invitation at the United Nations, presented to Full House at Madison Square Garden, and his seminars have been featured in various publications, including the New York Times. And Dr. Eric Pearl is the, I would say, facilitator, or it's come through him, this reconnective healing. And he's actually going to be at Agape Spiritual Center for the first time Sunday, February 8th, and he's going to be doing an Essence of Healing presentation. And those of you that are interested, the Agape Spiritual Center is in Culver City, California. So those of you that are local, or you can fly in for it. It's 310-348-1250 is the number on that if you have a resonance towards that. And let's see if we can get a hold of him. I talked to him a little bit ago. And I just ask, if you are calling in to just listen, if you would just let me know by putting it in the chat that you're just listening, because chances are I will call on you. Oh, life is good. Let's see. So he's in room 8, and so he'll be on air. Yeah, room 810, please.
810, sure, one moment.
He's having a little bite to eat, so let's see if he's ready now. On the road and traveling.
Hello.
Hello, Eric Pearl. You're on the air
with
Awakening Eats. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
Good. So we've just been talking a little bit. I'm so excited you're going to be at Agape Spiritual Center.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Yeah, so the Essence of Healing presentation, you'll be...
I love Agape. I remember when they first started, and I think at the time they were still referring to themselves as Science of Mind, and Science of Mind has so many amazing teachings. I don't know. I went there recently. I didn't hear them refer to it as that, but they're still very new thought and
yeah,
very wonderful. And I will tell you that Michael gets better with time, better, like a fine wine.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, they've introduced more of the spiritual nature, because the Science of Mind is, in a sense, just that. I mean, it's the more the mental aspect. So
I actually found Science of Mind very spiritual.
Yeah, well, it is too, but it's using the mind, and so I was just going to clarify with the shift with Agape. It obviously still has that as the base, the new thought,
mm-hmm.
But there is a lot of integration of the metaphysical, and as well as other systems of thought or other philosophies. Kind of interdenominational.
I always sort of found Science of Mind / Religious Science was very similar, you know, not to be confused with Scientology, which is entirely something else we could go into. But Science of Mind / Religious Science was very similar to Course in Miracles. And both are, to me, very spiritual.
Yes. It's the,
I love them anyway. I used to love Terry Cole Whittaker. Boy, when that woman had her church and she was on all the time, was she on fire? Did you ever hear her speak?
Yes, I have.
She was amazing, amazing. And she speaks at some of our conferences that we hold.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Well, also similar, you know, it's you know, semantics, right? You know, it's kind of all, I think, at one point or another, weave together. You know, there's a wonderful weaving of philosophies and experiences and wisdoms that come together to create the new thought, in a sense, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit, Eric, since you've been on the road a lot or something, tell us a little bit about what's going on.
I live on the road.
You are? Okay.
You know? If you know, if you want to see my closet, I'll just unzip it for you, because it's right here with me. You know? It gets to the point, you know. And people are always giving me things when I travel. Here's this book you'll love. Well, let me tell you, with Travel Awaits, you know, lately, don't give me a book. Give me the CD, don't give me the book, because I can't carry it. I can't carry it. I either have to ship them back or give them to people. We have been everywhere. This year is going to be very exciting, too, though, because I don't get on the road until the beginning of March, and I usually plan it that way. I like to have January and February, and even some of December to myself at home. My intention was to write another book. I have not sat down and started to write that yet, so I'm not thrilled with myself for that, but there's been so much other work to get done and things that need to be taken care of. But in March, I think we start the year off at Kripalu. I'm looking to see where the Kripalu dates. Yeah, it is. It's the very beginning of March. It's March 5, 6, 7, and 8.
Wow.
That's a wonderful way to start the year. Actually, just before that, I'm going to be at my one place that I go to in Vermont, Rutland, Vermont, which is a very wonderful little bookstore, the Peace of Mind Emporium there. And
I love that name.
It says 5 U.S. Route 4. I don't know what it is, where it is exactly. I'm at a hotel right next to it, but it's a wonderful store, and it's a lot of fun. So we speak there at the Peace of Mind Emporium in Rutland, Vermont, and then go straight on over to Kripalu, which is terrific. It's one of the few U.S. locations that we're doing, because following that, I believe I'm going directly. I think I'm doing a stopover in Tampere, Finland, and Helsinki, and then we go to London, because we have the opening of what's called The Living Matrix. It's a conference, and there's also a film. And you can, as a matter of fact,
tell us a little bit about that, because we have some of our Brits in the chat that I see. So London, I was interested in that. The Living Matrix, it's a premiere.
Yeah, let me see if I can
and I know it's on your website.
The link. Is it on the website?
Well, I'm going
to
say.
Okay, so it would be on thereconnection.com, and the link to it is simply thelivingmatrix.tv.
Okay, and tell us thelivingmatrix.tv. I'm going to put that in the chat too. That's now you're actually doing your featured speaker at the premiere of The Living Matrix TV.
Right. Well, I'm one of the main speakers in the film. One of the main presenters in the film, which is why the participants, include Lynn McTaggart, who she wrote The Field and The Intention Experiments. I love The Field.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Lipton will be there. I know that you're familiar with Bruce.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Brent,
right.
Also.
Edgar Mitchell from The Moon.
Right.
But I'm learning that Edgar Mitchell is connected with the Institute of Noetic Sciences.
Oh, I love that, the Noetic Sciences.
Right, and also Marilyn Schlitz will be there from the Institute of Noetic Sciences, and so will Dean Radin, wonderful researchers, Marilyn and Dean. Let me see who else is there. Rupert Sheldrake.
I love Rupert.
I love Rupert and his wife. They're both
amazing.
Yeah, she's amazing
too.
They're a lot of fun.
Amazing.
Uh-huh. Gee, I can't think of who else will be. Oh, Fritz Popp from Germany. Fritz Popp is the researcher who is best known, I think, for the original actual demonstration of the light that is emitted from our DNA in each of every one of our cells. So for all the people who have been running around in the spiritual world going, I'm the light, you're the light, and tra-la-la, and everyone's been laughing at them, well, science now says they're right. They're correct.
Yeah.
I mean, science explains that the people who are saying that we are light are absolutely correct. The DNA, and this is Fritz Popp's work, DNA in each of our cells emits a specific level of light. It's specific to human beings. It's different than cows and goats and monkeys and goldfish. And generally speaking, as our health goes down, our light is dimming. As our health comes back up, the light is coming back up. And, of course, that works beautifully with the concept of reconnective healing, because reconnective healing, as you well know, has been distinguished from all the forms of energy healing we've known of, old and new. Anything that has a technique is restricted and becomes simply energy healing. I mean, even ones that, you know, say there's something else, the moment there's a technique, you know, the moment they say place one hand here and one hand there and collapse a wavelength or bring in this color frequency or move your hands clockwise instead of counterclockwise, it becomes a technique and you get subsets of energy. But reconnective healing, I found, we actually access not only the full set of energy, but we go beyond energy into a spectrum of energy, light, and information. And light is part of, at least in the way that we see it demonstrated in the DNA, is part of what I like to refer to as the one cause theory, meaning the degree to which we fall away from perfect health is proportionate to the degree to which we have temporarily forgotten that we are that light. And all the different things we do around healing is really basically ways for us to allow ourselves to be reminded of or to remember that we are light. And the moment we remember that, all of our cells go, hey, yeah, I remember this. This is me vibrating as light. I think I'll do it again. And as we return, you know, we seek our natural level of light vibration, what happens is anything denser than that light has nothing left to hold on to. So if appropriate for that person, it falls away. And these densities include most of our health challenges today. So as all we're truly doing in the highest level of healing when we can transcend the techniques and the steps is to get to a point where we become that light and a reminder to others that they too are the light, just as a candle lights another candle, and they vibrate at that light level, and anything denser, including their health challenges, pretty much falls away, and healing is just that simple. And all the different complicated things that people have been trying to tell us are simply designed to sell us something that we don't need, because the answer is not on what we do. The answer is not outside of us. The answer is in us remembering and knowing or reconnecting with who we truly are, that light, that energy, that information.
Yeah. And is that the reconnective? There is reconnecting to this.
There are two aspects of this. Mm-hmm. The overall umbrella process we'll call the reconnection. Within that, there is reconnective healing, which is basically the concept of this new level of healing that science has demonstrated that comes about because some degree of reconnection with our original fullness takes place. Mm-hmm. And then there is a specific process called the reconnection, which is about us stepping onto our past and becoming more fully the essence, the being that we originally were and that we're designed to become again. And in that process of reconnecting, we step into a higher level of evolution, a more multidimensional existence, what a lot of people are waiting for the calendar to call, turn 2012 before they want to begin to accept.
It's now.
We're here. You know. And in that process, of course, we receive healing. So it's like two rings that overlap. One is more about the healing, one is more about the reconnection, but truly you can't have one without the other. So in the film, The Living Matrix, these different people are interviewed, and I'm interviewed regarding, they're speaking about the science of healing, and then I'm interviewed, I guess, regarding how the healing manifests itself. And so along with that interview, they also flew to Greece because they weren't planning on flying to Greece. But during our interview, they were asking me stories. And, you know, people like to ask, what was your most exciting or impressive or dramatic healing? And they're expecting, like, one thing hangs in your mind. And the answer is always the most recent one.
Yeah.
So they said, what do you mean? Well, I said, all right, well, I flew in to San Francisco to film this interview with you. I said, so I came in from Greece. And while I was in Greece, I was speaking up in Thessaloniki, which is like the second largest city, second next to Athens. And I was giving a presentation there in a very small, very version of a Colosseum. So, you know, it was like a mini Colosseum. And up front, off to the side, there were a group of people, and there was a child there who was all of maybe 5 years old. He had cerebral palsy. He was on braces, leg braces, to sort of help him stand, but he couldn't stand. First of all, his heels couldn't touch the ground, so he had to walk on his toes. He was scheduled for surgery for that. For him to stand up, he'd have to pull himself up on furniture or clothing, and for him to walk, he'd have to hold on to someone. His arms would hang in that kind of palsy fashion, you know, where the forearms are parallel to the ground, and the wrists hang loosely, sure. And to go up and down stairs, he'd have to, you know, sit to go down or crawl to go up. And no one could understand. He couldn't speak. His mother would have to interpret for him what she best felt that he was saying, so that the rest of the family can understand. So anyway, after the session, after my presentation, some people came up and said, would you work on this child? Parents don't believe in it, but would you work on the child? And I said, well, yeah, I will, as long as we can here. So I finished the book signing, and I went up to the massage table that I had on the stage there. Of course, the Colosseum had emptied at that point, so it was just a little family group. And took off his leg braces, and we started to work for about 4 minutes. And then all of a sudden, the people working there announced that we had to leave because they had to shut off all the lights and close. So as some of the friends were helping the child off the table, I was talking to the parents, and suddenly I saw the parents' heads both simultaneously turn and look up towards the top of the Colosseum. Well, it seems that little Demetrios, the little boy, had somehow, instead of holding still for them to put the friends to put their leg braces back on, had stepped down off the stage and climbed the entire steps of the Colosseum to the very top. He was standing there with a smile and his arms out to the side. And he laughed. He gave this laugh. And then he kind of took a few steps forward and jumped a step and took a few steps forward and jumped a step and came down his parents. Jumped off the stage, ran over to catch him. I guess they thought he'd fallen, even made it all the way down. And he said, I'm going to do it again, turn around and run back up a second time.
Wow.
So needless to say, the mother decided to come to Athens to take the seminar, of course. I said, why don't you bring Demetrios down and you can share the story with the people learning the work. And she said, no, I don't want parents to get false hope, which I thought was a rather strange thing. For her to say, since she knew, you know, what had just taken place, but, you know, she's the mother, it's up to her. Well, she changed her mind a couple days later because she had called home where her husband was taking care of Demetrios and said, Demetrios is experimenting with his new sense of balance. He is standing on one leg. Well, they flew him down to Athens to have a full session instead of just the 4 minutes, you know.
Wow.
But, you know, it's not about the time. Time has nothing to do with it. Time is a total illusion, and here's how I can tell you. They showed up, and they had friends with them and the whole thing, and we went upstairs to my room to do a session, and before we began, Demetrios said to me, in Greek, obviously, has to be translated, and he said, look what I can do. I can run. And he ran down the hall and ran back. He said, look, I can stand on one leg and spin, and he did. Then he said, look, I can open my right hand. You know, I didn't know, but all of his life he was unable to open his right hand. He said, and it doesn't hurt. And I can hold my own cup of water. He was so proud of himself. But you know what? It suddenly became clear that the shock of the whole thing as well was he said it, and he was understood by everyone in the room except me. You know, they translate to me, but I mean, and then they must have, right, he was speaking clearly, real words, and then they must have taught him how to do this over those few days. Then he counted in perfectly clear English from 1 to 10 for me. So by the time I finished the story, it didn't take too long after that for the people making the film to say, let's fly to Greece. So they flew out to Thessaloniki, and I flew out to meet them there. And they brought the camera crew, and they interviewed the mother and Dimitrios. They filmed him inside the house playing, and outside the house on the playground swinging and playing with his friends. And so I haven't seen it yet. I hear that it's quite a powerful piece about, let's face it, the healing of science. I mean, the science of healing, I should say.
Yeah. I think, you know, what's interesting, and that you said that the science of healing, my meditation for spiritual unfoldment class at Agape, I was speaking about that science of breath, and that how we have, and I want to get your take on this, Eric, that we do have within us this capacity, and it is scientifically put together.
Absolutely.
Well, demonstrated, but it's the science of us. We have this healing capacity within us. It's about tapping into that, you know, and, you know, I guess in a sense maybe knowing how, or, you know, sometimes it just happens, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that within us, I mean, you think about the way the whole system of the body mind works, it really is a system, there's a science to it. So why would there not be a science of healing? Do you know what I mean?
Well, okay, so in other words, like for instance, when you go onto the link, it's called thelivingmatrix.tv. The mm-hmm. film itself is called The Living Matrix, The Science of Healing, and it's called that because these researchers are talking about their takes, their concepts as to how the healing works. Now, you used an interesting phrase. Sometimes it just happens.
Mm-hmm.
Well, does anything just happen? Or do we use the phrase, it just happened, when we don't really quite know how it happened?
Well, exactly. They call spontaneous healing. I agree with you. I think it's...
They call it spontaneous remission in the world of medicine because they're so frightened of the word healing. The word they should be frightened of is the word that they like, which is the word cure.
Yeah.
You know? That's the word they should be frightened of because, you know, cure deals with... symptoms and therapies and treatments and things like that. Healing is about balance. So I remember once I was on, it could have been Lisa or The Other Side or one of those talk shows back a little bit. I don't think it was Sally, but it was one of those shows. Anyway, and a doctor suddenly jumped out from the audience. Someone raised their hand. I thought it was an audience member, but clearly it was set up to be ambush TV because it was in full makeup. And he jumped up out of the audience and waved his hand. And I wasn't used to ambush TV at the time, so, you know, I had to, like, take a breath and be calm. And he said, well, haven't you ever heard of spontaneous remission? And I thought, well, sure. He said to him, but sure, but isn't it amazing how many spontaneous remissions take place with reconnective healing? So who cares what
yeah.
we want to call
it?
The fact is, if we find a way to remember our own perfect state of balance and health, then, you know, why should someone get so upset that it didn't happen via swallowing a bottle of poisons or having some surgery?
No. I like what you say, that it's finding a way to remember this. You know, and to me, that's what that the reconnection is about. Is
I really think as doctors, we do this. I think medical doctors, chiropractors, physical therapists, osteopaths, nurses, all of us, I think that we take our healing careers on to give ourselves an excuse to be the healers that we actually have been and are all along. You know, the healings don't wait until we swallow a bottle of pills by, you know, squib or something. Many times, especially if you look back when the doctors took the time, you know, and the presence of mind to care, then you'd look back and remember the old-fashioned family doctor where, you know, you'd go in and you'd sit in one side of the desk and the doctor's sitting the other side of the desk and he or she would look up over their glasses and give you a little smile before they'd start to write the prescription. Then you felt the healing begin right there, right there.
It really is, in a sense, too, that locating of one's beingness, being really present with somebody, that immediately starts the healing, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, in chiropractic, which really is an amazingly spiritual approach to healing, not a religious approach, but a spiritual approach, meaning they look for the interference in the brain-body relationship. They find the vertebra that's creating the interference between the brain and the spine and the nervous system connecting with the rest of the body. They remove the interference, pure chiropractors, the real ones, mm-hmm. and get out of the way, and they allow the body to heal itself. I mean, of course, you know, any profession can have its dilution, and a lot of chiropractors, you know, you don't want to go to the chiropractors who advertise and promote pain and physical therapy, because they're not really practicing chiropractic. They're under the license, but they're doing physical therapy. It's something else. But the real chiropractors remove the interference, get out of the way, and allow the intelligence of the body to heal the body. And what is the intelligence of the body but an expression of the universal intelligence, the intelligence of the universe, just like a ray of the sun is an expression of the full sun itself. And so what happens is, removing the interference, getting out of the way, we allow the body to come back into its own balance. And that's what we do when we allow ourselves to consciously or otherwise remember that we're the light. We become a reminder for the person with whom we're interacting, because as we talked about, we mentioned Lynn McTaggart's book, The Field, because which I think, you know, I know she loves her second book, and I'm sure it's wonderful, but I love the first book, The Field. And the fact is, there's this field, and it's got a really interesting history to it, because in actuality, it used to be referred to as the etheric field. Now, if you remember the etheric field, you know that the etheric field was disproven not once, but twice. They disproved the etheric field in the 1800s, and the sucker came back. So in the 1900s, science remobilized to step it out and disproved it a second time, and it came back again, but it came back with such strength that science, you know, science started using it, and then suddenly they didn't, you know, they didn't want to be associated with the fact that it was science who claimed that nothing could happen invisibly and there couldn't be a field, and now they use the field, so they want to change the name to save face. So instead of calling it the etheric field, they call it zero point field, but everyone simply calls it the field of new name, because we all know. Now, we're not in this field. We are this field, right, this ellipse of energy and frequency and vibration and interaction. And so what happens is we're always in tune with it. Our minds are always in tune with it. People who are geniuses, people who are psychics, people who are healers are simply, you know, listening a little more carefully and not second-guessing what they hear and acting on it. And so what happens is when we do reconnective healing, the reason that we don't have to do the things that energy healing does, we don't have to worry about moving clockwise instead of counterclockwise, or taking off our leather or our jewelry or our battery-operated things. You don't have to sage the room or clear evil spirits or energy, or breathe the negative energy in and blow the negative energy out and sneeze it off, cough it off, shake it off, and spray it off with alcohol. I don't have to do any of that garbage any longer. And yes, it is garbage, because it limits us to energy. Not maybe the most spiritual way people would like to hear it, but, you know, they can listen to someone else if they want to hear something sound softer and sweeter. They're listening to me, and this is the way I talk, and I'm going to trust that God had some wisdom in creating me the way like God did, so here's my mouth, and it's going. Mm-hmm. And now, so what happens is we no longer need to do those things, because this is not limited to the weaknesses and frailties of energy. Mm-hmm. Any longer. Nothing will stop it. Nothing will change it. And we begin to recognize that we simply return to our natural state of light vibration, so there's nothing to protect ourselves from, because there's nothing that is going to negatively attach itself to us as long as we are light. The larger picture is, as we vibrate in that space of light, we become a reminder to that other person that they too are light and they vibrate at that level. And the thing is, light needs nothing to protect itself from.
Yeah, thank you.
Because darkness doesn't exist. Oh. If darkness existed, we could sweep it up, put it into a paper bag, and stick it out with the trash. The fact is, darkness is simply that place that we have not yet let ourselves shine as light. And once we pick that up again and allow it, we simply become the reminder as a candle lights another candle. And this new level of healing and evolution takes over the planet. But what can this have to do with evolution? It has to do with evolution because what we're discovering in the research here is that root connective healing, uniquely, distinctly, differently from Reiki, Jiraiji, and Shin, Qigong, Mahjong, Beijing, and all the different energy healing techniques, is actually affecting in a different way our DNA. Mm. What we know about this is it seems to be reconnecting our strands of DNA from a two-stranded system back into the third strand and expanding into what most likely seems to be a 12-stranded system, which in essence means we're reconnecting strands. Mm-hmm. And by reconnecting our strands, we're changing the software of the human body. How do our computers work? Right? We've got the computer that sits in front of us. That's our hardware. And of course, to get it to go, we have to have a software program installed in it. The software then allows us from our computer, we access the information within the software, and we access information from that, let's call it that internet field out there somewhere. Now, what happens when we upgrade software in the computer? Well, we get better and more information from the computer itself and better access to that internet field out there somewhere. So what if our brains are our hardware?
Yes.
And what if our DNA is our software? And what if what we're doing is what we know that we are doing in reconnective healing is we are reconnecting strands, we're reconnecting and expanding our DNA, then what that means is we're giving ourselves a human upgrade, a human software upgrade, which means that we're getting better information from the brain itself, and our brain is accessing more clearly the multidimensional field out there or in here somewhere. In other words, it's our transition into becoming more multidimensional beings. That's why we don't have to wait for a calendar date for this.
Yeah.
This is part of our evolution here and now to become this more multidimensional being. People think, they get all excited. When we do reconnective healing seminars, they know that on Friday night we're going to talk about the theory and the history and the science and the research, and then we're going to bring volunteers up from the audience and do live demonstrations of the healings, and they're going to see it, and they start to get all excited about that, who's going to walk again and talk again, and so we can. But the point is, it's not just about the physical healings. That's just that. That's like walking by the Mrs. Fields cookie store and smelling the chocolate chip cookies. You know, well, it's wonderful, and it drags you right in, and as well it should, these physical healings. But when you get inside the store, they've got more than just the chocolate chip cookies. And once we get involved with reconnective healing, we find that what it's truly about is becoming more multidimensional beings, the reconnecting of our strands, the reconnecting of these strings, these multiple planes of existence and our evolution. And it's just that the healings are the aroma, the scent, but they draw people in because, let's face it, not as many people might have shown up if we hung out a sign that said, come get your DNA reconnected here.
That's right. Right. Oh, Eric, I love the synchronicity. You could not have known this, Eric, because you weren't on the line yet, but before you came on, we were talking about the, you know, up-leveling of the DNA, and that we're getting, you know, this up-leveling. We're getting our software updated, if you will, this updating that's happening. So that's a wonderful confirmation on that, and more people I think need to see that we are in this process, right? That this up leveling or updating is taking place.
Mm-hmm.
But one needs to be open to it, right? There need, which is what's telling
you. You don't have to be consciously open to it. If we're waiting for everyone to be consciously open to it, you might as well die. I mean, the point is, it's up to us to start opening the doors.
Right.
When I first started talking about this, I mean, I really had to talk about a lot of things. I had to say, well, these people are recognizing the work, and those people are recognizing the work, and this is how it happened. And I'd have to tell the beginning story of how it took place when my palms blistered and bled, and everyone had to get, like, all excited about that. The point is, it didn't take too long for the reality of this to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
And people are coming in from everywhere, and the healings have nothing to do with faith or hope or belief.
Yeah.
When these healings first started, my patients were coming in to see a chiropractor, and I thought I was one. You can't double-blind study a whole lot better than that. And later on, when people started hearing about the healings and flying in from all around the world, they were coming in, dragged by a husband or wife, and half of them didn't believe in it, and then someone made them comment. I'd say, well, you know what? Why don't you say to yourself, maybe this is garbage and maybe it's real, but whatever it is, it's a unique opportunity to rest your eyes for 30 minutes in the middle of the day, so take it.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the people who would have the healings. If anyone didn't have the healing, it was not the person who didn't believe in it. It was the person who believed in it too much. It was
mm-hmm.
the one who came in and said, I know this works. It has to work. I've read every book ever written on healing. I've saved myself from full moon to full moon, and this month is a blue moon, so I get to moon everyone an extra time, and I only walked in clockwise circles, and blah, 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 and quick, heal me now. And that intensity, you know, they take off their crystals and put them in certain places of the room and remove their belts and their battery-operated watches and all these things. That unnecessary attachment became their limitation.
Mm.
But the people who didn't believe in it, well, it's hard to become attached to something you don't believe exists
yeah.
in the first place. And that's how the healing truly, in its fullest, started coming through. I mean, there's lots of stories about this. You know that the book is called The Reconnection, Heal Others, Heal Yourself. And The Reconnection is, well, actually, it's also the name of the website for people. It's thereconnection.com. But the book, The Reconnection, is now going into its 30th language, maybe more.
Mm-hmm.
And we've trained over pretty much close to about 50,000 people so far around the world, a good 20%, meaning close to around 10,000 are mainstream medical practitioners, chiropractic doctors,
right.
medical doctors, osteopathic doctors, nurses, physical therapists, and medical researchers and more. So this is practiced in hospitals as well as in private practices, as well as by lay people, because a degree in mainstream healthcare does not give you a head start, nor does any knowledge of any of the energy healing techniques put anyone ahead of anyone else, because the true gift of accessing this work comes only when you transcend the technique. We have been locked into the concepts of our energy healing technique teachers. We haven't really been learning from masters. And the distinction is, one distinction is, the teachers are the ones who say, come back and learn more, come back and learn more. My guides will give me the next step in 5 years, write me another check, my husband's throws a deposit it, and come back and learn more.
Mm-hmm.
And the master says, don't come back.
Yeah.
Because once you've interacted with this, then your true mastery evolves in the silence of your own mind. The teacher is good at retaining the student. The master doesn't want to retain the student. The master knows to make space because there'll always be the new student. As long as there's truth to be taught. And what's happening really is that our teachers today either don't know this or don't want us to know this, but we can't wait any longer. It's time for us to become the teachers of the teachers, in essence, the masters, and bringing the light onto the planet ourselves. So the gift of this is that this allows us to transcend the healing techniques, which is the only way that the master can be honored anyway. The challenge is that it requires that we transcend the technique. So for those people whose egos keep them in wanting to do the technique and getting better at the technique, that's where they stay. For those who are willing at the moment, we're willing to transcend the technique, that's when we hit our level of mastery. You know, it's as simple as training wheels on a bicycle. I mean, the fact is, you know, you put, you know, our energy healing techniques are like training wheels. Now,
yeah.
If you have a small child who wants to get onto a very big bicycle, you know just how valuable training wheels are. It helps that child develop their sense of balance safely without harming themselves. And once they've mastered the bicycle with training wheels, then we, as the adult, come in and do the only intelligent, natural thing. We remove the training wheels so they may then master the bicycle itself. But if we leave that child alone to their own thought process, they don't see the larger picture. They start saying, well, I'm riding the bicycle better with the training wheels. I'm not falling down and getting hurt as much, but I'm still wobbling. Maybe I need a second set. So what do? They take their bicycle into the training wheel store, and the person who owns the training wheel store is more than happy to sell them a different set and a second set of training wheels because that's what they sell. So one week they get the training wheels that make beeping sounds, and another time they get the ones that shoot the little red light beams off so they can see when they're tipping and tilting. One day you look out your window, and there's this child riding down the street on his or her bicycle with 24 sets of training wheels, maybe trained their friends how to master the training wheels, given them all the little certificates, and they've all got their little pink business cards with the rainbows and fairies listing the different training wheels they've mastered. And there they all are, masters of these techniques of riding the bicycle.
Masters of the training wheel.
Masters of the training wheel. Right. That'll be the new book.
That's exactly
Masters
it.
Of the training wheel.
Go.
Right.
Exactly.
But the funny thing is, they've mastered the techniques.
Yeah.
But they know them have mastered the healing because they haven't transcended the technique to actually get there. The techniques bring us closer and closer, like step halfway. But at a certain point in time, we have to stop stepping halfway. Step into the healing itself, and this is the new consciousness that we're gaining. It's, you know, it's like a coin with a front and a back. The front of the coin is a gift that this allows us to transcend the techniques. The back of the coin is if the challenge, the only way to access this level is if we transcend the technique. Or you could say the gift is that this demystifies the healing process. The back of the coin is the challenge, and the challenge is whether we are willing to allow the healing process to be demystified. But the funny thing is, try as you may, you cannot place the front of the coin into your pocket without the back coming along. So we definitely, right, we have to access this new level, and it is a little unsettling to some of the healing technique teachers because they don't quite know what to do. If they're not teaching a technique, they don't know what the technique and what to teach each other. And, you know, what we all have to start doing and what they have to start doing is transcending the technique and teaching the consciousness. There's actually one person who came out with a book about maybe 3 years ago who he and his wife and his staff had attended the Reconnective Healing Seminars about 4 or 5 times. They were doing something else at the time. And then he decided to suddenly come out teaching healing, so the words that they say are, there's no technique, and then they turn around in the next lesson, they say, place your left hand here and your right hand here, right, and collapse the wavelength, and then bring in this color frequency, because that this color frequency is needed for this situation, and in essence, they're diagnosing and technique treating again, and it's like when you go into the restaurant, and they have New York cheesecake on the menu, and you order it because you're just in that mood for New York cheesecake, and you get some dry little piece of cheesecake, it's not New York. It's one thing to use the words, but we have to step into the actions. And we find this throughout the healing field. We find this throughout the spiritual world in the aspirational points.
Yeah.
People who come, they want to do healing sessions, so they want to call God into the healing session. We have to call God in for protection. And I say to them, well, is God everywhere? And they say, absolutely. I said, then where are you calling God in from, the airport?
Yeah, exactly. And protection from what? If we're
from what? That's the
field.
Point.
That's, I know. That I'm so glad you're saying that. Now, Eric, we have some questions from the chat.
Sure.
Some people.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know we did that. I've been chatting enough for all of us.
Oh,
but...
yeah. No. It's great, though. It's great.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got them, you know, email, chat, phone.
I'm here. You ask. I'll talk.
Okay.
Unless I've got other things to say. Ha, ha, ha. And this is me without speed.
Hey, it's all this energy and light.
I know, isn't that funny?
And the energy and light, you know.
Freezing here in the New York hotel room. But go ahead, ask some questions.
Okay, Alice is asking, how long do the healings last? There's a length or...
The healings are, I'm assuming that she means the actual healing itself, not the healing session.
I'll try
and answer both of them.
Clarification, yeah.
But let's try this. If she's talking about the healings, what we usually find is once someone receives a healing, almost always it's for the rest of their life. Often it evolves, you know, into its fullest point, you know, just very shortly into it, and then that healing is for the rest of that person's life. So I'll assume that's what she meant by that question.
Okay.
I will tell you that when we do the seminars, you know, we bring people up, and we give demonstrations of the healings, and you'll often see those healings will take place within 30 or 60 or 90 seconds or so. So that were her question. That's how long it might take, because it doesn't really take any time at all. But in more detail in the seminars, we teach about the appropriate length of time to do healing sessions for, because we have to allow it to seem acceptable for the people who come in. The seminars are working seminars. I'll tell you right now, do not come to these seminars if you think we're all going to sit around, hold hands, home, and sing Kumbaya, My Lord, because it won't happen. This is my personality, and I don't get prettier. It's a working seminar where I demonstrate a level of work from the stage, and we go to massage tables. There's one massage table for approximately every four people. We have teaching assistants who are trained by us who fly in from around the world, and they and I walk around to each of the tables, and we work with you to show you how to get it. When we go back to the stage, we demonstrate the next level, we go back to the tables, and you will be able to master this work by the end of one weekend if it kills you, not me, but you. Go ahead, ask your next question.
Okay, we're going to go to a caller, and then we'll go back to the other questions in the chat. Hi, 305-895, you're on Awakenings with Dr. Eric Pearl.
Hi, Dr. Eric Pearl. I'm Elizabeth Marconi. I was chasing you around the world, internet, newspapers, radio shows, and finally I got
you. You must be out of breath.
Yeah! And I got you. And I got you finally here, and maybe my only chance to talk to you. I took your course in Miami, and it's a lot of questions in my head. The people were kind of jumping like a fish when I was giving them this energy train of by Doug.
Wait, I should explain. I should explain
yeah,
that
explain
to the
it.
People listening.
Yeah, and first, what is your name?
Elizabeth Marconi.
Oh, Elizabeth, yes. Okay, good. And so he's going to explain the jumping like...
Let me just explain that part to
okay,
the people
please.
Listening. What she means is, once you learn how to access this level of healing and you bring your hands in near someone on the table, it causes their bodies to involuntarily move. So feet and fingers and body parts and eyes start to move involuntarily. And when we teach you how to do this, we walk around the tables and we show you how you glide your hand to a different area and let yourself feel a different sensation. Then the person's body physically responds another way, and when you bring it back, it responds the first way, and then you can do it another. And that's how we teach you how to come into full recognition of this level of healing. So that's what she means by jumping around as a fish. So I'm sorry.
Right.
Go ahead, continue.
And not everybody jumping, but this girl I was working on for a short time, she couldn't talk fast. For 15 minutes after that whole thing, and I.
But what did you want to talk about at that point anyway?
No. Then not that.
I know.
If this jumping or whatever kind of is a signal that there was a healing, or just energy went there and didn't do nothing, or because sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it just do in few minutes, sometimes. I have no idea if it did. I just was drowning in
okay.
a ocean of energy.
I can help you with that.
I was suspecting maybe you send me some energy, because I took some energy thing from the people they're working for you, but I didn't feel that much as I felt right now.
Let me try to explain this to you. Ready?
Okay.
The movements, the involuntary movements that you see with people on the tables, we call those registers. That is the body demonstrating that it's interacting with this new level, this more comprehensive frequency of healing that includes energy but takes us way beyond. So these are registers. These are the way the healing frequencies demonstrate themselves or register in the body. Now, when people used to ask me in the beginning, does everyone have a healing, I would say something similar to you. I would say, well, you know, it seemed about like 70% of the people would have a healing, because I thought that the healings, that people had healings when they had the problem that they came in wanting to be resolved. But as I watched, oftentimes people would come in and they would have healings other than the ones they anticipated. Sometimes they'd come in wanting one problem to go away, and it would, and other healings would happen. Sometimes the problem that they had might not go away and something else might. For instance, I think of the first time I noticed this woman had driven in from halfway across the United States to see me, and she had had a problem with the left side. I think it was the left side of her face. I don't remember which side. Was very painful. It was a leftover residual from Bell's palsy. It was very painful for 2 years. Anytime there was a little wind or a breeze, it would hurt. And so I saw her for 2 sessions, and that problem didn't clear up. And, you know, she had it for several years. She was, well, close to 50 at the time. The funny thing is, she said to me, you know, I didn't mention this to you because I had it all my life, but when I was a young girl, I had a fever when she was like 7, 8, or 9 or something, and an infection, and lost the hearing in one ear, and she regained her hearing. So at first moment, we might say, well, that person didn't have a healing, but actually, they had a very dramatic healing. They might not have had the healing that you thought they should have had. They might not have had the healing that they thought they should have had, but they had the perfect healing for them according to the mind of, or the intelligence of the universe. Call it God, call it love, call it any word you want.
Okay.
So if you let go after your session, right, you trust. You see that they are in that healing space when their body starts to move that way. And if you let step back and watch, you'll find out what healing they did have.
What can happen? You see, I was so excited because I have kind of a heart open for everybody, and I was wondering even if you see these people like Peter Jennings was saying, and if you were sending him energy. Because when I go to the airport and I see someone suffering in the line in the store or somewhere, when I see someone needed, they don't know. But I am working, you know. I am working. I don't know how much I can accomplish, but I am sending that energy without anybody asking me. I don't know
you allow it and trust that each person will receive the healing that's most appropriate for them, and you will start to see the most dramatic healings take place, I promise you. What I can tell you is that once you've completed the weekend, as you did, you are, if you allow yourself to relax, you are able to facilitate any healing that I am able to facilitate, and you are able to facilitate healings to the level or beyond of any human being on this planet. So you allow yourself to work a little less and to listen and observe a little more, and you will start to see.
That's my problem, listening more and talking less. Yeah, I know.
Okay. Well, you know what the thing to do is? Take your upper lip and your lower lip and touch them together and begin to do the healing work.
Well, but this is a curious question. Oh, my God, you know, you have my pictures in the clouds there in the room. I don't know if you can get it. I'm still there. I never came down. So, you see.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we got to talk on the phone. Thank you.
To you, Elizabeth. Take good
care.
I have one more question. One is important. Can I ask one more?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Like we the people who experiencing with that new energy, the things like burning electricity, I touch my microwave, went out of order. I sometimes computer goes out of order, and I wonder if that's a kind of an accident, or we get once in a while too much energy, and we just do some stuff.
Once in a while, it just wants to talk to you. But if you keep blowing your computer out, I've got 3 words for you. Get a Mac.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're much better.
They can handle that vibrational frequency.
Get a Mac. Definitely get a Mac.
It's so really great to talk to you. And I really spent a lot of hours with you already. Okay.
No, I appreciate it. I look forward to seeing you again. Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye.
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 That was great.
Well, she has such a wonderful voice. She sounds like a lot of fun.
Yes. Got a love light energy in there. Mm. Packet of energy. It was great. Another question, Eric. Again, in the chat, someone's asking, and you kind of answered this, has there been anyone you worked on that didn't feel the energy or the healing?
Yeah, sometimes there are people who don't feel anything, and often they come back with a huge healing, and sometimes they don't recognize a healing. And sometimes there are people who feel and experience it very dramatically, but don't recognize a healing. What I've discovered is that everyone seems to have a healing. Most people have it right away. Some it takes a little time. For some it's the one they've anticipated. For some it's something they haven't thought of yet. For some, you know, once in a while someone doesn't experience anything. And you know what? You have to accept that. The fact is, just like any respectable, medical doctor, you cannot, as a practitioner in healthcare, make any promises or guarantees. You can only explain what the possibilities and the probabilities are, and then let go and see how the body heals. And any practitioner in any healthcare field, as we know today, and I can tell you speaking from the point of being a doctor, is out of integrity if they make absolute promises. You just cannot.
Mm. And also, Eric, you can speak to this. In a sense, if you will, setting up the healing. You know, we're it's the ego personality. You know, actually, this interface, right? So we're not always
The ego personality is a different thing. I mean, we're forced. Some of that is unfortunately ingrained in us by our teachings. The energy healing techniques we've learned are very ego-based. So when we're told to say there's no ego, and then our actions come from ego. We step in, and some people go, oh, I looked at the aura, and the blue and green are out of balance, and the red doesn't belong, so I removed the red, and I balanced the blue and the green again, and I felt an area of density, and I removed density so everything flowed freely. Aren't I wonderful?
Stuff, right? It's all mind stuff.
Yeah, well, it's not that. That's ego stuff. If you're feeling densities and you start removing them, because that's the ego saying that you know what's going on. I mean, the fact is, if you, heaven forbid, fell down the steps and twisted your knee, there'd be pain and swelling and heat and color change. Now, that would be what? Your knee. The pain would be your knee calling up to your brain. Michelle saying, help, 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 there's damage down here. And your brain said, okay, I got you. I'm going to send fluids down so you don't overwork the joint, and they'll have healing nutrients in it. We'll wash away the old stuff and let the new cells form, and we're finished. We'll hang up and say goodbye. But what we tend to do is we interfere with that system by using artificial electrical currents such as ultrasound, and then we kill the phone call so that the knee is hollering, help, 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 and the brain hears, so it hangs up, and we inject it with anti-inflammatories and send you back in your world where you're pain-free, but your knee is damaged and deteriorating. And the fact is, when we're working with healing off of the body, well, the intelligence of the body is just as intelligent off the body as it is on the body. The intelligence of the universe is just as intelligent off the body as it is within the body. So when we start rearranging colors and removing areas of density as if they don't belong, what we're really saying is, gee, God, thanks a lot. You've done a real swell job with the whole universe up until now, but you missed a couple of spots. Let me fix it for you. And here, keep my business card with the rainbows and fairies if you need my help again. The fact is, the densities that we see, or the changes in discolor of color in the auras or other things in the energy fields, may very well be serving that same intelligent purpose in the healing process, and we'll never know until we stop doing and allow ourselves to transcend the technique and rise to the level of becoming the observer and the observed, because only then does the perfection of and the beauty of the universe and the healing process display itself for us.
That's right. And well, that's what I'm saying. You can't necessarily know what's going on. It's such an expanded level. So what that healing for one individual, you know, that person may think it's going to look a certain way, or they need something. It may be totally different, as you're saying, because,
yes,
right?
We have to stop looking for a specific intended result and allow ourselves to become a catalyst, knowing that something divinely perfect will take place if we allow ourselves to sit down and observe.
I like that. That's it. We're that catalyst. I like that even
better. It's more than even a conduit. We're a catalyst. It's our consciousness, and our consciousness is light. And this is a new level of healing beyond energy healing, beyond techniques. Reconnective healing allows us to access a completely more comprehensive and inclusive spectrum comprised of energy, light, and information.
Another question, Eric. You ready?
Sure.
Okay. Do the healings still affect you physically? That's from Debbie.
Yeah, I mean, if you mean, do I still get blisters or bleeding in my palms? No, that doesn't happen any longer. But, of course, we all, meaning you, as we teach you how to do this, as well as myself, we feel different things moving throughout our bodies. And these are registers that aren't happening only just in the personal entangle, but it's out part of our own feedback system. As a matter of fact, it's not just feeling within our bodies. Dr. William Teller, who's known for the Teller-Einstein model of negative entropy and other wonderful things, he came and four times now he replicated the very same study where he took measurements of the energy fields in the rooms and found that as we brought in reconnective healing and taught it to the people, the amount of what he calls, and you can download this podcast and listen to it on our website, on thereconnection.com. He said the energy change in there was so huge that if this were energy healing or any of the known energy healing techniques today, the only way we would have gotten this change in what he calls free excess thermodynamic energy would be if the room were heated to, get this, 300 degrees centigrade.
Whoa.
So, of course, we get sensations in our bodies.
Yeah. Well, you have to. You open to that space, right, where we're all one. You're going to be feeling that as it's coming through.
It doesn't mean we don't necessarily all get heated up. Sometimes you get cold, you know, and sometimes you get other sensations. But the fact is, comparing this with all known forms of energy healing today, nothing could reach anywhere near this level that reconnective healing does without the room having to be heated to 300 degrees centigrade. That's just one measurement of the transformation of what distinguishes reconnective healing from our energy healing techniques. Mm. Because it's not energy. It's way beyond energy. It includes anything that we're able to access through the energy healing techniques.
Mm-hmm.
And then takes us immeasurably beyond.
Mm-hmm. Another question. Does this energy come when we empty, again, Debbie's saying that when we empty or let go, does this energy come in? Is it necessary to empty?
You know, not really in that sense. Think of it as going to a concert. Do you have to empty your ears to hear the music?
Mm.
Now, true, if you're chattering back and forth and doing a lot of things, you might not experience it as fully or as beautifully. So the more we're able to relax and allow ourselves to listen to it, listening with a different sense, a sense that even allows us to feel it, the more we will receive, but it is always there.
Okay. So it's always there. So you said earlier, sometimes people feel this, sometimes they don't.
Usually you do. Almost everyone really clearly feels it. And the few people who don't feel it the first time tend to, you know, if it's a second or third time.
Mm-hmm. And you hear people have changes in their life. I mean, obviously there's the physical healing.
They have changes in their life.
Yeah.
You see, you can't have a physical healing by itself. In other words, to be accurate, there's no such thing as a physical healing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can change what's going on in the physical only, but then that's not a healing. That's treatment or therapy. It's symptom care. Healing is about balance. So balance means physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, life experience. The whole thing somehow or other comes into better and better balance. And then we see the part of the iceberg that's above the water, and so the part of the biggest part of the iceberg that we see is a physical problem, and that goes away. We go, oh, look, a physical healing. But, you know, it's very, very, very often that once you learn how to do this work, you'll have people coming to you all the time going, saying silly sounding things like, you know, it's the strangest thing, but everyone at work has suddenly become so friendly. I wonder what's come over them.
Yeah, right.
You know, they don't realize that they're the ones who have changed. And in the beginning, when people ask me to teach this work, I go, how the heck am I going to teach this? No one left me a manual. And, you know, I thought it was some kind of a gift, which of course it is, but, you know, that was a gift that was just mine. But what we found was as my patients would experience this, they would go home and they'd call me up and say, oh my God, I walked into my house and my lamp or television or stereo started turning itself off and on and off and on. I felt sensations in my hand and I would hold my hands by someone in my family. My grandfather could walk again after the stroke and my grandmother repeated her speech. That's how we found that we began to be able to ignite this ability in others. And the funny thing is when they go to add a healing technique to it, they reduce it and don't get the same response. And when they step back out of the healing technique, it comes up into full levels of healing again. And this has fascinated scientists who are doing the studies on this as well. Really, the limitation in healing boils down to our judgment of good, bad, right, wrong, and our ego involvement.
Mm. Yeah, it's really stepping out of that, isn't it? That I would say
it's about stepping into our willingness to listen, just like that first caller brought up.
Mm-hmm.
Or last caller, I should say.
Last one. Now we have a question from Alice in Michigan, and she's asking, "Will you ever come to Michigan? Please come. How could you do a workshop there?"
You know what? Here's how we select where we're going. We're going to go. You see, my mouth keeps moving, so they just shove me off of planes and push me off of planes and say, you know, to stand here and talk. So they put me in places where the most people are who want to listen. So I will go anywhere because I have a good time anywhere. All you need to do is email us, email info@thereconnection.com, or just go to thereconnection.com and you know, hit in the email thing there somehow, and just say that you want us to come to your city. There are two types. The more emails we get, the more likely your city will be selected. Now, there are two types of emails. There's the ones who say, we want you to come. Let's say those count for 1 point.
Okay.
And then there are the emails that count for 3 points. Those are the ones that say, we want you to come, and I will help you get word out in the area. Tell me what I need to do to help, you know, promote the consciousness that your seminar is coming in. So those count for like 3 emails.
Okay,
so send those and we'll come.
Yeah. So even someone could sponsor something, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, well, we call it co-sponsors.
Co-sponsor,
I mean,
that doesn't mean
money, but it does mean a little bit of work. It means help us find what radio stations or what newspapers and magazines might be interested. Help us find if there's a Unity or Science of Mind church or a community center or some places where we can speak nearby, you know, for those few nights. Because I'll usually show up in a city. I'll usually fly in on a Monday, and then I'll do things to help promote the awareness of the seminar on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then we give a big presentation Friday night. Saturday and Sunday we teach, and Monday I'm on the plane again.
Okay. So there you
still
have it.
Still talking all the time.
That's right.
Except it's going to be a little different in Kripalu, because in Kripalu they've spread it out for a few days. As I recall, Kripalu is actually Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, because they like things, you know, a little slow and peaceful there. So I go a little crazy during some of their extended and long lunch breaks and things, but, you know, it's almost the same.
Okay. So here's a offbeat question, and I would say no, but I could be wrong. Light is asking in the chat if it feels that this reconnection comes from Pleiades, the Pleiadians.
There's a Pleiadian aspect to it,
okay.
But I don't know that there isn't a Pleiadian aspect to each and every one of us.
Of us, yeah.
So I think that when we speak of the Pleiades, it's sort of like in the 1980s, speaking of tiramisu, you know, you couldn't talk about dessert without tiramisu being brought up. The Pleiades has to be brought up. Yes, it's part of it, but don't lock into it by going, this is Pleiadian, as if it's exclusive of anything else. Mm-hmm. We live our lives on multiple dimensions throughout the universe, and I believe at this point in time, for many of us, the Pleiadian dimension seems a little clearer for us to see and recognize right now. And another one might show up later, but it's by no means the one and only.
Only one, yeah. And then also a question about if you go into this at all in your book or anything that has to do with the Pleiadian DNA aspect.
We talk about it a little bit, as it has to do with the history of how reconnected healing evolved.
Okay. So you're going to have to read the book, those of you that are asking the question.
You're going to have to read the book. I never read it, you know. I read that transcript about 212 times, and I'll tell you, when it came back bound, I went, that's a pretty book. And that was it. Every once in a while, you know, every 6 or 8 months, I might pick up the book and open it to a page and read 2 or 3 sentences or a paragraph and go, God, did I write that? That's pretty good. And then I close it again and I'm finished, you know?
Yeah. Now, Alice Ann is asking your thoughts, Eric, on distant healing. Any thoughts?
What about
that?
Distant healing?
What do you think about it? What are your thoughts on distant healing? And is it possible
healing,
to do that with the reconnection also?
Yeah. When we do the seminars, you know, we teach mostly, you know, present and table work Saturday and the first half of Sunday. But Sunday afternoon, we do some distance healing and some other ways of accessing this.
Okay.
As well. So, yeah, we do go into it. And, of course, you know, we even go into some self-healing more specifically for those of us who are like, you know, give me self-healing, give me self-healing. The truth is that when we stop focusing on self-healing and our focus is on bringing healings to others, that's when we're least attached and most open to receive our own healing in the process. But, you know, it's a difficult concept for some people to get. So we do teach how to do self-healing for those who are just, you know, give me self-healing.
Mm-hmm. Because as you're accessing this healing light energy, I mean, you're receiving it. We are it, but we're receiving it too, right?
Exactly.
Right. Exactly. All right. Well, we're winding down, so I do want to just let everyone know, although I'm going to put it also in the chat, that what's coming up for you, Eric, that if you want more information on Dr. Eric Pearl, you can go to thereconnection.com. And to let you know also that Sunday, February 8th, he will be at the Agape Spiritual Center, and that's in Culver City. So I know some people that are listening as well as in the chat are local. So if you would like to participate in the Essence of Healing presentation, that is Sunday, February 8th. And you can find more about it by either going to agapelive.com or calling 310-348-1250.
Or they can go to reconnection.com
too
and find it
there.
Did I tell you, also know about the Conscious Life Expo in Los Angeles?
No, I didn't know about that.
That's the following weekend. It's February 13 through 15. It's at the LAX Los Angeles Airport, the LAX Hilton Hotel. And I'll be doing presentation there on Saturday the 14th at noon. I might be doing a couple other things there. So, and they'll have a lot of wonderful speakers. Last year they had Daniel Brinkley and quite a number of interesting people.
Yeah,
so that's
were there last year doing work with Conscious Media.
Yes, so that's the Conscious Life Expo is what it's called.
Yes, yes. I had a booth or gave a presentation on Conscious Media. So that's,
oh, you're doing one there?
I did last year.
Right, you're doing one again this year?
No. No.
Oh, see how you are?
Yeah, I know. Well, something else came up.
I know you did it last year.
I know. Next time.
Something else came up. Well, it better be good, Missy.
Oh, Eric, it's always great to have you here and to share your amazing insight and awareness into healing. You're really up-leveling and up-shifting this whole idea. And also what I really love is it's a self-empowerment for people, that you're reminding them that you are this, you have this, and you're giving access, you know, allowing people to tap into this. It's wonderful to have you back.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And all of you that are in the chat, thank you so much for being here in the healing space of empowerment, as you rename the chat room. It's great to see all of you. Yeah, they renamed it, Eric. That's it.
See how you are. You know, give them an inch. Give them an inch.
It's been changed to the sacred space of empowerment, which I love. And also a lot of the people in the chat are just saying thank you so much to you, Eric. So they're very, very appreciative.
That's my pleasure.
Yeah. And again, for those in the chat and those that are listening via Cosmic Dimensions and all the other podcast outlets, if you would like to join in the Essence of Healing at Agape Spiritual Center, that will be Sunday, February 8th. And, of course, you can find out about it at therikahealing.com. And there's a lot of other information on the website as well about the Living Matrix movie and the Conscious Life Expo. I think you can find a lot of information there. So, again, thank you all so much. And Dr. Eric Pearl, thank you so much. And until next time, everyone, shine your light and keep awake.